podcast for the Bad Seeds. Thanks for listening. I am Scotty the Plug, and I am at fucking Skylark Social Club right now, doing a doing something new. You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting here with Taddeo, Justin, and Dave, two of the owners of Skylark, and the professional homie Dave, bar manager. How y'all doing?
Good.
Y'all talking in these mics?
Doing good as hell.
It is loud because we are at a bar. We are at the actual spot. We're not in the studio this
week. Nothing but dudes in here. Nothing
but meat and cheese in this motherfucker. Meat and cheese, baby.
Good charcuterie in here.
It's thinly sliced meat and whatever.
It's meat heavy, that's for sure. Street meat.
How y'all been?
Good.
Busy
working
as hell.
First off, what Skylark is one of the brand new rock and roll clubs in Charlotte. It's how long has it been open now?
January 3rd was Friends and Family Night.
That doesn't answer how long it's been open.
Since January 3rd?
Yeah, so three and a half months, something like that. It's halfway through April now.
Signed a lease on January
3rd. 3 months.
Yeah, 3 months. Brooklyn, baby.
3 months. Hey, who got the, by the way, who got the neon working? That thing was broken shit.
You gotta jiggle it the right way. You gotta jiggle it to the left.
We're doing really well.
Yeah. All right, so, I mean, I got a couple questions for you guys, and then we can bullshit, do whatever we want. Basically, for anybody that don't know who the fuck you are, let's go around and tell them who the fuck you are and where y'all are from and your fucking story.
Taddeo. Raised in Concord. That gangster shit. Played in a shit ton of bands. Tattooed for a living. One of the owners of Skylark. Actively playing Green Fiend.
Green Fiend.
And Raw Hex, a new project that nobody knows about yet.
They do now. They do now.
They don't know shit about it, though. They just know it's called Raw Hex.
Raw Hex.
Yeah. Not much about me, man. That's it.
Yeah, right? I mean, me too.
Justin Driscoll. Spent half my life in Jersey, half my life here.
Jersey.
And,
with a water.
That's yeah. Philly.
It is.
Animals. But take photos for a living, and I played in rock and roll bands since I was 13. I used to play Tremont in the late 90s and then kept it going up until a few years ago. But now my main focus is photos and this.
And professional homie?
Professional skateboard?
Yeah. Professional homie. Dave Mattel. I am a bar guy. And that's pretty much it. I'm from Long Island.
From Strong Island.
Strong Island. I sling drinks and, you know.
Behind the wood.
Mets, Jets, and Islanders, baby.
Islanders, baby. Hey.
No Mets.
Up your nose with a rubber hose.
Up your nose with a rubber hose.
Toilet face.
So, when was like the first thought of opening a fucking rock and roll club? Like, who came to who started it?
It was initially my idea. Drunkenly, as a Facebook post, I said somebody will loan me money to open up my own bar and venue, and the response of it was so crazy that I was like, I bet if somebody did loan me some money, I could probably do that. And then the idea spawned and kept going. At the time, Taylor Arthur, who's behind the bar right now, who's our other business partner and is one of the owners, also plays drums in Green Fiend. Me and him were living together at the time, so I kind of brought the idea up to him, and then me and him joined forces, and then somehow Justin got brought up. I forget how exactly Justin Driscoll got brought up, but... I brought it up to Justin, and Justin thought it was a good idea, and I had page after page after page of ideas, and then it just spawned from there. I think after we brought Justin on board, it took us about a full year to get something hammered out and actually a spot.
I mean, we bought the PA system for this over a year ago. We knew we were going to do it. We didn't know how we were going to do it.
Well, I mean, if you get a good deal on some shit like that, you got to go with it.
We drove 4 hours down to the beach, bought a PA system, drove 4 hours back. And, wrote the business plan, had a PA system, but then just looked at property after property after property. And
yeah, that was a weird drive to and from, and fro, if I may, Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, we drove all the way down to the beach, and then what was the dude's name? Sketchy dude?
I don't know, but
it was a sketchy PA system deal, but loaded up in the van, took it back. But yeah, we had the PA and a business plan and nothing much else, and we looked for months and months and months at so many different properties, and it was just, speed bump after stop sign after roadblock, and then finally this spot kind of fell into our laps, and here we are now.
Yeah, that's badass. Because it almost happened, like you almost had a spot set in stone before, right?
There was a couple of spots.
Three different times.
We were guaranteed to get.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, even though we had a solid business plan and a good business model, people were like, oh, rock and roll, I don't know. And they were kind of afraid of.
Yeah, the second you brought up music, live music, they're like,
Yeah, nah.
And, you know, that's the thing, too. We've had some crazy big shows here and some tough, you know, bands come through, and everything's been on. There hasn't been an incident at all, you know, and everybody's been super cool and respectful of what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, I feel like the incidents and shit happen at like extreme. Like, what's the max here? Capacity? Like 500?
150.
I'm just kidding.
150 is
1 million.
Yeah, 1 million. But like, I feel like all those fucking problems happen, like, you know, like the big room Tremont shows. Like, that's like the. That's when you get, like, the fights and shit. Yeah. No, like, I can hear it. I can hear it.
I went to go see Hatebreed back in October. They had to stop the show 8 times.
Yeah, I was there.
Because you know, that's their livelihood. You know,
smaller places are just easier to police.
Yeah.
Police itself. You have 10 homies in here that are just here hanging out for a show or not even, like, really into the show or anything. If anything happens, it's quickly squashed. Luckily, nothing has even. I think maybe 2 people since we've opened have gotten punched in the face, and it's been a fucking shake hands thing, no harm done.
Yeah.
One guy got choked. That was time.
Yeah, one dude got choked for being a pecker neck. Anything else has just been like, no, that shit doesn't happen here. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I mean, I guess that's one of the next questions was like, owning a venue, you really. What do you absolutely. Are you like, fuck this, that's not gonna come in here, you know what I mean? Like not as a person, but like just an attitude, like a just a way a person is.
Your money's green.
That's true, but
if you're talking about shitty people, then you're talking about like your racist motherfuckers, any of that fucking Nazi bullshit. You know, this is definitely not a place for that. Anybody's welcome here, no matter your race or any of that bullshit.
Yeah,
none of that matters here. So really the only people that aren't welcome are fucking shitty racists or fucking homophobes. Definitely not welcome here. It's not cool here.
Fucking douchebags.
Yeah, douchebags. Definitely shirtless dudes. Super welcome here.
Pantsless
dudes, yeah.
Dave, you gotta get a mic.
If you're a shitty person,
butthole.
You're not welcome here, man.
Pantsless dudes.
Is that what it is?
If you're a good person, you're welcome here. It's as we call a safe space.
Yeah.
If anybody needs a place to come, they can come here anytime. As long as we're open.
As long as we're open. Yeah. I mean, don't come here at 8 a.m., I guess.
You can't sleep here, motherfucker. I know we got scumbag ass friends. But let me pass out in the back, bro.
Yeah.
Can't have
I know there's a patio.
Yeah, they have a patio back there.
No, we used to have the futon, too.
Yeah, the futon was. The futon quickly got
sketchy.
That shit
was dirty as hell.
Yeah, there was like skid marks. There was like skid marks on it when I threw it away.
Yeah, the skid marks and then all Justin's farting. Fucking ham cans down there.
Those are not my ham cans.
There was a
fucking hidden stash.
There was one here?
There was a little futon in the back, but it has snail trails and shit on it.
Oh, shit.
Because it was here from the station, so people were fucking. Yeah, there's probably dogs having sex on that thing and everything. It was weird. The station was the shit, though. We all came to shows at the station or played shows at the station.
From what I heard, like what it was before the station was badass too. Like it got fucking rowdy in here.
Yeah, Central
like,
Station was a fucking rowdy, dope gay bar. It was fucking tight.
Dude. I always heard it. Like it was always loud as fuck.
I've heard some of the rowdiest stories. I actually came up here when I was younger and fucking partied a couple of times with some friends. Nothing wild, but it was wild as a motherfucker in here. Randy would have had a great time.
Yeah. Shout out Randy.
Shout out to Randy.
So with Skylark, it's like to me, it's like a
yelled adios mios. You heard that?
Yeah, he likes tortas and shit.
Spanish night here.
Yo, you should have Spanish night in this motherfucker.
You're Puerto Rican. You're not even from Puerto Rican.
He said Puerto Rican?
Yeah, he's like a quarter Puerto Rican. Boricua.
Funny
pun. Yeah, hell yeah. Big pun.
Oh, I heard a story about Big Pun. It's funny as hell. He used to beat his girlfriend or wife or whatever.
How's that funny?
No. That's not funny.
Oh, okay.
But
like you're fucking up the podcast already.
She used to just run upstairs from him because he was 700 pounds.
Yeah.
She would just run upstairs and he'd be like,
Jessica, just run away from me.
And I'd get you, bitch.
I had to get a house with no stairs. Not because I just.
Yeah, that's why. Breathe deep, baby.
All right, next question. So, all right, yeah, so like I was saying, like, Skylark is kind of like, for those who don't know, like, Tremont Music Hall was like a huge rock and roll venue for like 25 years, 27 years.
I think 1995.
Not to mention, 2006.
Like a huge part of why most of us are into everything we're into.
Or know each other.
Right, yeah. Exactly. I met almost all y'all motherfuckers at Tremont Music Hall.
Yeah. But I get kind of like
some sketchy ass Gastonia after party or some shit.
Right? It's like when you're from Gastonia like me, you don't fucking. There's a show, you meet people at the show, and then you don't know what to do after the show. Like,
yeah,
I never knew where.
I lived in Concord at the time.
Yeah.
Well, like, I played my first show there December of 99, and the music scene, they were doing local shows in the main room because 800, 900 kids would come to a local show, and then you kind of saw the scene dwindle a little bit as the 2000s went on. And then, Tremont went, Amos's went, Double Door went. And that was also kind of part of our motivation behind this. You know, everything was starting to go. And we weren't trying to compete with, you know, giant rooms like that or Fillmore or anything. Yeah. But there was nothing for, you know, hardcore and punk, the opportunities that we got and the venues that we got to play at, none of those spots were there anymore.
Yeah, that's so, like, I get, like, the same vibe from, like, here, and I know everybody used to go to Tremont all the time and shit. What, and then when, I hated it when Tremont was closing and, like, you got all the jaded fucks saying, like, cool, I mean, for the past 10 years, nobody wanted to go there, like, because you're the fucking problem. You know what I mean?
We're all jaded fucks anyway.
I mean, I am a jaded fuck, but still, I mean, I worked there and shit, but
nobody really appreciated it until it was gone. And then I went over there and, you know, climbed through the pile of rubbish and pulled out all these bricks, and I had the Tremont bricks engraved by Neil, who used to own the
monster. He's over here trying to throw a plug out to sell some bricks right now.
Those bricks, they still got six of them.
Those bricks are gone. They've been gone. Those are long gone because there's, whatever. But, you know, people wanted them.
Yeah.
And same, like, people wanted, my buddy Brian did Double Door rings. He made them out of the wood from the Double Door, and people loved it, you know?
That's badass.
But it was almost so bittersweet thing. People didn't, you know, give a shit until it was gone.
Yeah.
That's when I realized, too, you're in a position like we're in now to, like, you quickly understand when you're put in an owner's position, you quickly understand why there is so many things for charge and everything. Because, literally, if we don't make X amount of money a month, we're fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, that fucking taking care of your punk rock friends only goes, you know,
right,
a certain length before
you're
your
business.
Right.
Ultimately, I mean, I don't understand how other venues that I've been to stayed afloat. They had to be.
I'll tell you.
Something wild.
Shout out to the Milestone.
Yeah, heard the fuck out of that. Shout out.
What up, Buck?
Yeah, they are in their own fucking element, man.
It's insane. And we don't take any we don't take any money as a bar from the door. The 80% of it always goes to bands. Sometimes even more than 80%, depending on the band. But 80% minimum always goes to the bands, and 10% goes to the sound guy, 10% goes to the door people, and then we make up the rest of their pay just from our bar.
Yeah.
So if our bar doesn't do shit, we still pay them, because we're all musicians and we've all worked in the service industry and we know how fucking shitty it can be. So
right.
We try to make sure everybody's paid and everybody's happy all the time.
Yeah.
And bands are happy and bands are continuously coming back to play here.
Yeah. That's kind of like the downfall of Charlotte these days is a band will come, but then everybody bitches like, oh, it's a Thursday. It's like, and then the turnout is complete shit because everybody just...
No, people want the show to be on the night they want at the time they want.
Yeah.
I just saw a Facebook post today. It was like, what's ruining shows is early shows or people later, too late at shows that need to be earlier. I'm like, what the fuck? Nobody in Charlotte comes to a show until 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So the first band's always shafted.
Dude, that's,
sometimes the first band's the best motherfucking band.
That's so crazy. And like New York has used to have matinee shows, you know what I mean?
They
before big
shows.
How are the turnouts?
Like the matinee shows are always still good.
Yeah, and what is that like?
We live in Charlotte, North Carolina, not fucking Brooklyn.
Right, right, right.
People want to do different things in different areas too, you know what I mean? Like, there's more of a, I mean, the scene is way bigger in New York than it is here,
right,
honestly. But, you know.
But even with.
That shit will grow. The more venues you have that do shit, like, unfortunately, just not to be cocky, but that do shit like we do here.
Yeah.
That will encourage more people to be here. You know
but we're
I mean?
Trying
right.
to do shit like it was back in the day. I mean, when I brought Taylor the idea of all this, one of the first things we said was like Hell Barn back in the day, which was fucking Mill's parents.
A fucking barn
right?
In Gastonia.
We had fucking DAV hall and shit like that.
Yeah.
Or we used to all just rent out VFW halls and stuff and throw shows. So we're like, all right, we're just going to do the same thing, but we're going to own the fucking bar. We can throw whatever shows or parties we want any fucking time. We decided to do emo night. Emo night did fucking great. Now we're doing emo night every month. We got fucking guests from bands and shit coming in to do it, which we will announce soon. We're not going to announce on the podcast. We pretty much have the opportunity to throw a party anytime we want to throw a party.
We'll pat Dave on the back. Dave is responsible for getting some of these awesome guest appearances that we got lined up. We just nailed a few in today that we're really happy about.
You're just a pop punk kid, right?
Yeah. Pop punk kid. At a small venue, we just had fucking Madball.
I know my sadness.
Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's. I wish I could have come here for that, but
yeah. And then we got the Hoods. Coming from Sacramento.
Yeah, the Hoods.
The Hoods.
The Hoods.
The Hoods.
The Hoods.
The Hoods.
Yeah, now you gotta edit out all my little Madball bullshit. Because I just went on about Madball. None of y'all wanted that, man. But Freddie, I'm telling them all right now.
Shout out to Freddie and Hoya.
No, y'all fucked it up, right? I'm trying to bring up Madball. You guys want to brush it under the rug?
Well, he didn't think that. We heard you. Or, I got it. I get what you're doing.
Y'all
right?
Heard me.
I got you. But yeah.
I smoke a cigarette so bad.
Right?
Can we just do it?
No, we're going to rotate. I'm going to peel out and smoke a cigarette while he asks.
So what is like, we were talking about like Tremont and shit, and you know, like there towards the end, everybody stopped giving a fuck. But what was some of your like best memories in like, not necessarily just Tremont, but just like going to shows that really made you want to continue doing shows?
My favorite thing was being able to punch a motherfucker in the face for being a dick and not go to jail for it.
Now
Charlotte's all ACAB till somebody steals their MacBook out of their fucking VW and then they gotta call the cops.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
Because apparently the FBI is gonna come and fingerprint everything.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that made Plaza Midwood and NoDa so great, you know, 10 years back was it's like everybody did what they did and nobody said anything about it. It's just like, all right, you want to do what you do, fine. I'm gonna do what I do.
Right.
And now it's like. Somebody farts the wrong way,
right.
And it's, you know, a public post.
They're a racist.
Yeah. Everybody's being crucified for something, and it's like, you know, it used to be the Wild Wild West out here, you know? It was like, and that's why people came here. And now there's fucking condos popping up everywhere, and people want to get on their soapbox and be a social media keyboard warrior.
I dig the condos, man. I met some cool chads up in this street, man. There's those some motherfuckers in some duckhead pants that will knock your fucking boots off with the wild stories they got.
Because you know why? Because they got a 24-hour gym at the bottom of those condos.
Heard the fuck out of that.
And that's, they fuck shit up. Those fucking little...
I go to the gym a lot.
Those little green bikes kill me. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You just see them everywhere. I was in front of...
fucking thrown on the ground out there.
I was in front of a wooden robot today, and there was like fucking 20 of them.
The way people discard them reminds me of like if the rapture happened and just people were just sucked off their bicycles
into
the sky.
BRB.
We got a timeout from Tadio. So yeah, like best memories of shows around the area, you know what I mean?
I just remember you know, when I was young, you know, going to Tremont, like seeing Snapcase and Converge and all these bands that kind of shaped who I was as a person, you know. Before that, you were a kid in the suburbs, and you had, you know, Green Day and Offspring and Nirvana and stuff like that. And then you all of a sudden, you see Snapcase and Converge, and these people are just doing stuff you've never seen. And punk and hardcore You know, that early Victory hardcore and what Epitaph was doing, you know, that's what shaped me into the artist and music fan and man that I am nowadays. And all of those shows happened at either Tremont or the Milestone or Fat City.
Yeah.
There was always something going on every weekend in the like late 90s, early 2000s. There was always a good show coming to town. And then it just started to fall off, and then it slowly started to dwindle, and then the talent buyers couldn't get, you know, they were skipping over Charlotte and going to Atlanta or, you know, D.C.
I mean, that's definitely how it is now, man. Like,
I mean, remember fucking, like, the days when you would go to Tremont, and every weekend you'd have a good show. Yeah, Kill Whitney Dead.
Yeah.
You had fucking The Demonstration.
Yeah, even...
Whatever fucking bands it was. You always had a good fucking time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
People would show out. It's the fucking weekend.
Right. Even, you know? I mean, honestly, even, and I know for a fact that people used to go to those shows and not give a fuck about the music, which is a horrible thing sometimes.
But they just wanted to be social.
Still wanted to hang out.
Think of Dharma.
And shit.
Everybody went to Dharma to just be social. You
yeah.
Know, people went to shows and then went to fucking Dharma too. You know?
I mean, but like there was like fucking Kasbah, like sold out shows, like these local shows. Nobody necessarily cared. Not every person cared about the music, but they still paid and got in and had a good time and, you know, shit
got
like that.
Supported regardless.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There was always something going on
always.
Every weekend. So it was like, even if you might not be super familiar with the band, you were still there hanging out with your friends.
Yeah.
And there might be one band you dug. If not, you, you know, stood outside, smoked cigarettes and whatever.
Right.
But everybody was still there.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah. And I wish we had it back. Hopefully you guys can get that back, man.
We definitely gonna have it back.
Because that's what I...
It's music scene.
Oh.
It's going to be like 2006 all over again.
When did you move here?
2007.
2007.
Yeah, you weren't even here in 2006. Yeah.
Well, I did come down here in 2006 for shows, but...
You
I came down here when I was first looking for a house with my stepdad.
There's a dude we all know be talking about old shows all the time. Can't name his name, but that motherfucker be talking about old shows all the time, and these rant. It's all stories that he heard us say at the shows.
Yeah,
and then he'll tell the story and be like, "You weren't there. You up until 2016, homie."
Yeah, right.
What are you talking about?
Oh my god, I've heard
mother that one time Gerd the Turd hit that guy with a master lock.
Bro, I've heard motherfuckers say, like some of these kids say, "Yeah, I was at the Prayer for Cleansing reunion and shit." I was like,
"I got a hoodie." I got my hoodie.
I wasn't there.
I wasn't there.
And I'm just saying, I was adding it up. I'm like, motherfucker, you were not 10 years old.
I'm so hungry.
I am too.
And I got a t-shirt from that show I can't fit into anymore. It's like a super small. Super small.
Oh, man.
I remember my first show in Charlotte when I moved here was Evergreen Terrace, Thick as Blood, Boys No Good. It's 07.
Boys in the Hood?
Boys No Good.
Boys No Good.
That's 07.
A little pop punk band, right?
And they were tight. Those members of Kids Like Us.
Yeah,
I
remember that.
Those members of Kids Like Us.
I like
Kids
that
Like Us is my favorite. It's my favorite hardcore band aside from Madball. But I remember that show, and I remember meeting. I met so many people that night. You know what I mean? People were so accepting, wanted to hang out. That's what made me keep going to Tremont. You know, I went.
It's kind of a shitty thing how. How
he's
great!
Rubbing his back while he's talking.
Yeah, it's kind of a shitty thing how like social media helps everything, but also fucks everything up so goddamn
social media
much.
Ruins everything.
I mean, it
is absolutely needed. I say all that. I just fucking told my homie Duran today. If I didn't have bands, a bar, and tattooing, I would delete Facebook.
Yeah.
Fucking now.
Yeah, but you gotta keep that shit because you need to have that connection with everybody.
I would just have Instagram if I could.
I call it fake book and Insta sham. Like, people show you snippets of their life, what they want you to think. And then other people judge their lives off of other people's lives, and it's not even what's really going on.
Well, that's how you find out about SIFs. You know what I mean? Okay,
yeah. Dude,
secret internet fatties.
You're not allowed to say that anymore. I'm not allowed to say that anymore.
I can't say SIF?
No!
No? Is that not PC?
I don't care what's PC, man.
I really don't give a fuck. SIF, secret internet fatty. That's how you found out about those fat girls back in the day.
There you go.
All right,
Dave,
you open.
He
done opened the can of whoop ass, and now we start.
Can of worms.
But I mean, yeah.
I don't hate fat girls either.
You can't.
P-H.
He can't because he's skinny.
He's a butthole anyways. So, like, everything's closed. Like, all our venues around here, not all of our venues, but, you know, two of the big ones that drew the big acts, you know, like the tour packages and shit. Amos, Tremont, gone. We still have Milestone.
Amos was, I had mixed emotions about Amos.
Right.
I played it. Amos's quite a few times.
Dude, I worked there.
But so. I never felt anything from Amos's about really supporting local
right.
bands.
No, it's not. I'll tell you, that motherfucker is a business genius, though.
I appreciate what they did, but a big, big, big problem is that my bands had the luxury when I was younger was getting put on big shows. As a local band getting put on that headliner show, that will fucking drastically help your band.
Yeah.
And you should be playing. A lot of venues don't fucking do that.
Right.
Granted, sometimes it's the tour package that refuses to have a local band.
Which
but
I don't
want. Many big bands, they were like, yeah, we told them they could put a local on. They just didn't want to fucking do it.
How do you feel about that? Like those big tour packages that are just like.
When the touring bands have a really big issue with putting local bands on, fuck them. Because that's bullshit. They were small before. They remember what it's like to do that. Unless they're rich boys.
Roots.
Yeah.
A lot of people
don't forget your roots. They show up.
Edit that shit out.
Manhattan. Manhattan.
That whack shit out.
Don't ever. No, that shit's true though.
But I've had people come in here who, you know, were there from the get go, and people towards like towards the end of Tremont era, and that, and people said this reminded them of that, you know,
right?
Like maybe a show in the smaller room, you know, it's got that vibe, you know.
Yeah.
We joke around classy trashy, you know. It's,
yeah.
We're proud of what we put a lot of fucking.
Nathan Fish just texted me and said, "What time y'all play?"
Tomorrow.
That's exactly what I said.
He got his days
night,
off.
Man.
It was like, go back to sleep.
He asked me if I could FaceTime him real quick.
I mean, we put a lot of love in this. We were here borderline 24 hours a day trying to get this place going for, and we did it quick, and because we were so passionate about it. Yeah, we literally December 18th got the keys, and we were ready to open January 1st.
Also, right. It was not the fucking day. Like we were here, like from the time we woke up until, I mean.
Also,
still
working other jobs and shit.
Yeah, like I mean, yeah. We were putting everything we had into this. Like, I mean, and that's aside from the guys. You know, I am the bar manager. I'm not an owner, but I put a lot into this shit as well with these guys. Probably not as much as these guys, but
no.
You know, we were here.
It counts
so much.
But also to that, like, yeah, we were here doing it, but all of our boys stopped by, and it's like, hey. You're not doing it, and people would just pick up paintbrushes, and you know, people would pick up grouters, or you know, help fix the floor, and it was a group effort. It wasn't just the three of us. You know, everybody was involved, and everybody was involved because they believed in it, and that's kind of the thing. You know, the three of us might have, you know, our faces on it, but it's all of ours, and that's what you know. I've told Dave and John and everybody, you know, this isn't. You know, mine, Taddeo's, Taylor, this is all of ours, you know? And that we wanted everybody.
Until we started making money.
I look at it the same way. I mean, they, you know, as far as being owners, they have money invested, you know, obviously.
Right.
As a business owner. I have just as much as my time invested as they do have money.
He said he needs a raise. That's what he just said.
Yeah.
I don't need a raise.
But I feel like this place is more like a, because I worked at both of those venues that we just talked about.
Yeah.
I worked at Tremont. I worked at Amos. When we got off work at Tremont, we would hang out with each other after it and shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Taylor's look at
the, Taylor. Taylor's in the middle of bartending right now.
All right.
So, Taylor, the
look
other
T Dubs, the other
T-Bone.
Old
Travis Tritt.
Tritt, yeah, get on the mic.
Young Tripp.
Say something, son. Like on the mic. You gotta get on the mic.
All right, I'm here.
There he is.
I'm on the mic.
Hey,
I'm there.
About to spit a freestyle?
No, I'm not.
I guess since you're here, we can
he's
go back.
That into pop punk, Dave.
Jump up and down, synchronize.
Young 69.
Dave did this.
Taylor, since you're here, he came to you,
yeah.
correct?
We were
What was your first initial reaction?
Well, I mean, I think around that time was when, Chop Shop, we were getting the news.
Oh,
about
yeah,
Double
forgot
Door.
About Chop Shop too.
Like we were getting news about the Double Door, about Chop Shop.
Yeah,
you know, I think that was right on the cusp of Tremont happening. So with us, it was like when he said it, I was like, "Fuck, man, you're right." Okay, so what do we do? And
yeah,
we started looking at places, and you know, just went like every week.
Yeah,
for like 2+ years.
Yeah,
and you know, you can only be turned down so many fucking times. But
you gotta lose some to win some.
Oh,
or
yeah, oh, we lost a lot.
Or however that saying goes, yeah. You gotta know when to.
Oh yeah, we were getting like sad, fucking drunk about it that night. Mm-hmm. We got our last turn down, and we're like. And then just something happened, you know.
Getting sad drunk.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just, you know, don't give up, bro.
We didn't.
Don't give up.
We didn't. John Cena, never give up.
Yeah. All right. So what do you guys hope to accomplish with this shit?
Just kind of fill a void, you know.
There's
a void, like, with somewhere to do things like what we do.
Also trying to make our music scene in general. It's probably a far reach, too, because, I mean, you never get back to what it was, and it's never going to be back what it was, but, I mean, we all remember the times of, I remember the times of having a full-time job and going to 7 shows a week.
Yeah.
Every night, even if we didn't like the bands, like, still going to the shows. Granted, sometimes to start fights.
Right.
Assholes, but for the most part, everybody still went to a show no matter what. Everybody still watched the bands no matter what, unless they sucked that bad, then you literally walked away. But everybody, for every start of every band, was pretty much inside the building watching the bands play.
Yeah.
And I know I haven't been completely bummed about missing a show.
You got kids and shit.
Well, no. But even before that, for the past like 7 years, like if I miss a show, I haven't cared until that Madball show the other day.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like when you were doing those 7 days a week working and you had to miss one, you're like, fuck, man.
Yeah, bummed.
So
yeah.
Dude, I know how that shit goes because I got a kid too.
Yeah. I mean, now.
But I was here.
Hey. Sorry.
However.
I bought tickets and I had to get rid of them.
I miss a lot of other shows because of my kid. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you need to teach your kid how to bartend.
Or how to mosh.
Yeah. My kid moshes hard though.
My kid moshes hard though. So since opening this joint, have you guys surpassed your expectations for this place? Like in the first, because it's been, what did we say, 3 months, some shit like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think in certain aspects we have.
Yeah.
You know, like as far as shit picking up and feeling the way that we wanted to, you know, to a certain extent,
from,
I mean, that definitely took off quicker than we expected.
From winter to spring, have you seen a fucking...
Oh, yeah. Now, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, seasonal.
I mean, the first couple
the
weeks open, we knew we were going to... Even though it was a dead-ass fucking... The worst season to open up a bar.
Yeah.
Worst month, January.
Industry is tough in those... In January, February is...
Right.
It's the worst. You feel...
Luckily, we just...
Like
hop right in. Ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Wayne has just walked in the bar. Every one of you knows that loud fucking drunk.
But when you get past January, February, you get to March, it gets a little better.
Well, before... Before Dave Natal, so... God damn, Jerry Wayne. Before Dave Natal so rudely interrupted me, I was saying, we lucked out. We opened during the deadest season to open up, and through support from all of our homies and all of our friends, we had the support system to where the first couple weeks were fucking great. If we didn't have that, we could have came close to falling flat on our fucking faces.
Right.
It could have been bad.
Yeah. Right. I mean, but also why, you know, some places, you guys said you like signed the fucking lease and open immediately or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, some places will fucking sign it and fucking wait till...
They got to have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude. Like,
I'm not paying rent and not opening.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Exactly. Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah. Fucking we try to open on the first and we had to pay rent on the first.
Yeah, you got
to
have the doors open to make fucking money.
I fucking love it.
We waited, 3 days though?
You guys hit the ground running.
Yeah.
That's pretty tight.
Yeah.
So what's next?
What's next for Skylark is to try and fucking crank out as many badass shows as possible.
Yeah.
And as many local shows. Every show we do here has local bands on it.
Yeah.
I think we're just trying to figure out what works well and run with that.
I'm going to get back to bartending.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
T-Dog's going back to bartending.
All right, boy.
Holler.
I will say, like, all the shows we're cranking out have been, I mean, very, 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 I mean, drawn as far right. as, like, I mean, people coming out, I mean, we have the support. It's just a matter of, you know, now building that
right.
further. I mean, you know, Tremont, Amos has had these crowds that would only come out for big bands, you know?
Right.
Like, you know, you'd have a normal show
towards the
week,
end.
And then you would have these random people that would come out, oh, Glassjaw's playing, damn, we gotta come yeah. out, you know what I mean?
Tremont, when it was in the prime, everybody went to every show.
Right.
We want to make everybody a regular show goer.
Right.
And everybody come out and enjoy and support those.
But even when you don't have shows, what, I mean, because anybody can have a fucking bar, you know? What are you guys doing different than these kids?
It's called a social club.
Yeah.
We don't have a fuck ton of arcade games in here and shit. You know why?
Right.
It's a fucking social club.
Yeah, get off your phone.
You're forced to either sit there on your phone and be a fucking asshole, or...
Bruh. I'll say this should be a rule.
Stand beside somebody and talk to him.
Like, one night, I was sitting at the bar, and people were having a conversation with the bartender about just obscure bands that nobody would even think to talk about. And right. I was like, that's what I love about this place.
Vodka,
you know?
Right.
Loud, son.
Ooh, loud vibe.
Well, it gives everybody a voice on, you know, on music. You know what I mean? You can talk about the music you want.
Right.
We'll do that. You know, it's a matter of getting people in the door. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So doing anything.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, dude. As far as the pop punk coming out.
Yeah, pop punk.
As far as events and stuff like that, I mean, just pulling people through the door.
Yeah, like you guys said, you had the emo night, which is badass. Yeah.
Bro, we got $5 pitchers of fucking PBR.
Yeah, I mean, tell everybody what you have to offer. Like, I mean, other than just, you know.
I mean, for this business model, though, you know, we pulled from a lot of things that we saw over the past 15 years, whether it be Tremont, Amos's, the Penguin, you know, everything, you know, and we saw how that brought people together. You know, people used to show up at the Penguin, you know, pictures of Yingling, small block burger, you went about your night, and then you wound up there for last call. And then it was the same thing with, you know, Tremont. Everybody just showed up. Everybody met there,
yeah.
And everybody hung out, and then you, you know, go do whatever afterwards.
You've been looking at Zach Deaton's tattoos? Zach Deaton's killing it.
Yeah. Shout out Zach Deaton.
Yeah, Zach Deaton, Nashville, Gold Club Electric.
So
that kid is fucking. I'm looking at Instagram while we're doing the podcast. That kid is fucking smashing tats, dude.
Yeah, he's a tatty smashy.
Tatty smashy.
So me with the So I mean, yeah, that's basically all my questions, man. What you guys got? Anything you would like to get off your chest about this, or anything you'd like to say, or
I feel like everything
get weird.
We like to get weird.
Yeah, we like to get weird. All right, so. I'll go through you guys. What would you guys like to plug? Plug your things that you're doing.
Plug the plug.
Yeah.
Sam, tomorrow night, actually, I don't think this is getting released tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, this is going to be a 420 release. So yeah.
So 420 is Taylor's birthday.
Lazy boys.
Yeah, we got a Bankertown Brawl pre-show here at the Skylark. I'm assuming the bands will start at 9. We got Heathen Bastard from Florence, South Carolina, which is... the singer Damon from the band from Graves of Valor. I think he plays bass in that band. It's sludge and heavy as balls. Hexus from Texas, who's actually Hexus from Texas.
Sounds like the porn
right
star.
They're already here. They're playing second, and then Space Wizard's very last show is tomorrow. And then Green Fiend, our band, is playing to end it as my first show back as the vocalist.
Good.
So I'll be sure.
Yeah. So
I can't do it like Jace the Face does.
So basically, if 420, it's a fucking Friday, right?
Yeah, Tweed.
There ain't no fucking reason that you shouldn't be at Skylark tomorrow or tonight or
Toke it up,
you know, whatever. Yeah, dude. Not on the property, though.
Yeah, not on the property.
Not on the property.
Don't smoke your marijuana here. Dave's already drunk.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I know
he's on his shit.
I know he progressively started getting drunker because he started talking more.
He keeps getting farther and farther away from the fucking microphone.
Dave was supposed to be in the background the whole time. He somehow motherfucker ended up in the forefront drunk.
I got pushed out of my seat.
Yeah.
No, I just want everyone to come out, you know, have a beer, have a shot, and give the place a shot, you know. And,
yeah.
Because it's just, I love the environment myself, and you know, I like to come here even when I don't have any business being here. So
right.
And like I said, we're welcome to everybody, and it's a good time.
Actually, hold on. Let me say this. I saw something a couple of weeks ago. If you do have a fucking problem with the place, tell somebody that night and don't post it on fucking line.
Yes, dude.
You know what I mean?
We have all of our information on our fucking Facebook page. Email us. If something bad happened, by all fucking means, let us know. If not that, dude, do it that night.
Yeah.
Whoever's bartending is either a manager or a fucking owner, because we don't have a huge staff. Because we can't.
Yeah, and all of us are very transparent, very easy to talk to. So there's no excuse for it. And that's what I'm saying about this age with social media thing.
If somebody does something shitty to you or offensive to you in the bar, and you sit there and don't fucking say anything
until the next day.
Until the next fucking day, or you want to post a fucking Facebook status post, let us know that night, and we will handle it and help you. Because again, as I stated, this is a fucking safe space. Nobody should have anything to worry about in this building. And as long as it's brought to our attention, you never have shit to worry about in here.
There you go. That's the way it should be.
I'll fart on you.
Not even just here. It should be like that fucking everywhere. Yelp shouldn't be a thing. I'm just saying.
No, fuck no. Yelp is made to talk shit. Yelp is the lamb goat of fucking food.
Oh, my God.
Yelp is the lamb goat of the food and bar industry.
Yeah, it definitely is.
It's just
there
to fucking talk shit when some douchebag didn't get their fucking way.
I feel like some of the shit's got to be trolls, man.
Yeah, hell yeah.
It's got to be.
Somebody made some comment that part of the parking lot with gravel and the other part was paved, and I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. And they made a thing about that.
There's not enough fist fights these days, man.
Dude, heard the fuck out of that.
I challenge you to a duel.
There's not.
I really, really, really miss the days when if somebody was being a dick, you could punch them in the face and then see them at a show the next day and not have a goddamn problem unless they still wanted to try to beat you up and you just whoop their ass again, and it was usually over from there. You know why we didn't see a bunch of Nazis at hardcore shows back in the day? Because we beat them up and they never came back.
That's what pissed me off about the Hatebreed show, is he swore up and down. He was like, because there was some dudes like flashing like some fucking, like some fucking eagles and shit. Yeah. And then he fucking, what's his name? Jasta was like, he was like, there's no Nazis at our shows. We kicked them out in the 90s. I was like, bruh.
No, you didn't. Go to Spartanburg South.
Right, right here.
Or just like look outside beside the food truck. There are two sitting right there.
But frijoles.
But the one thing I did associate with him was, you know, I got two little girls, and you know, this bar, amongst other things, are my livelihood.
Right. It's a business for sure.
It's awesome and it's fun and it's a cool job, if you will. But it's a business, and that's the thing. If you want to come here and act like an asshole, you know, that's our livelihood. And you know, that band, for instance, you know, they woke up so many mornings to lawsuits because somebody wanted to be a dickhead at one of their shows and punch somebody, and then they have to deal with it. The club's getting sued, then they're getting sued. And that's the thing here, and it's been amazing. Everybody has kind of policed themselves, even with the rowdier shows like Madball. You know, Madball is like the grandfathers of New York hardcore, and their shit gets rowdy, and we didn't have any issues, and we haven't even with any other shows, because everybody just respects the place and respects the people.
Yeah, it's like kind of like all we got here, you know, like if you don't respect it, you're kind of a fucking dickhead, you know. Dave, you got anything you want to plug?
I think Dave's done.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I'm going to plug is...
You did get his Uber. His Uber's here, right?
Yeah, Dave's
okay,
Uber's here.
Your Uber's here. You need to leave.
Ashley's here. Ashley's here.
Oh, man. All right. Dude, I appreciate you guys for letting me come here and do this shit.
Thank you.
It's a...
smoked a little bit of tweed.
But yeah, hopefully this place can, like, bump us back 10 years or some shit.
I really,
you know,
hope so. We every time we have an owners meeting, I like keep having to fucking stress to everybody. I'm like, y'all, I know, like, we're spending money, dude. Like, this shit wasn't fucking free. I stress to everybody all the time, like, y'all gotta remember, and everybody does remember, but it gets really stressful when you get a stack of bills thrown on you.
Yeah.
You gotta fucking pay the shit as a business, that we didn't open a place to become millionaires.
Yeah.
However, it's a fucking business. We opened up a business to springboard into another business, possibly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we ain't making fucking tons of... We ain't making any money.
Yeah.
There's three of us that opened this place. even when we are making money, we still ain't gonna be making money. We could make more money going in a fucking kitchen and working, realistically.
And, but
you're making money until the first.
Right, yeah. And
the other thing about it, too, is like at one point, you know, it was like, oh, investors or things like that. And it just got to the point where it was like, no, fuck it, let's do it.
We can figure out a way.
Yeah, we did it all on our own money and resources and things like that. And the other thing,
I was about to say, not just money, resources. Let our stress.
Yep.
We didn't use any banks, but we used resources.
Yeah.
But the thing is, too, everybody who's here brings a different element to the table. You know, everybody, this whole thing wouldn't be what it is, or it wouldn't function as smoothly as it does if it wasn't for all the parties involved, because everybody is a rock star at
including door guys, sound guys, fucking.
You know, it's like I can't run sound, but I can, you know, run the business aspect of it. I can't.
I can do security.
You know, it's like, and that's why, you know, having Dave on board, you know, I don't know anything about being a bar manager, and he fucking kills it, and I love him, and Pete on sound, and John doing security, and, you know, everybody.
Scotty being the plug.
Yeah.
The plug, dog.
Everybody has their own role, and everybody picks up their piece of the puzzle and puts
look
it all together.
Nathan Fish is. You're on the podcast, Nathan. Say it again.
Yeah.
Sad, man.
Sad.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Like I said, thanks for having me, and thanks for everybody for listening to this episode. To show my appreciation, if you use the code PFTBADSEEDS at checkout on my brand's website, you get a little chunk off your whole fucking order. And that website is www.unlovesonscompany.com. Plug it hard. But yeah. Thanks, Tadio. Thanks, Justin.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave's got an Uber on the way. Actually.
Oh, dude. He just threw up in that bucket. And thanks, Taylor. And we
out.
Oh.